Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Coming up on 5 o'clock here, week 5 of the National Football League. Dan Ball, put a pin in it. Reminder, we should probably do a little update on the WEEI Station Fantasy Football League, of which one team is co-managed by Ted Johnson and Stiz. Some point in time next week.
The Master Blasters.
The Master Blasters. How they doing? Quick look, because you did take Drake May, I believe.
I think we beat Davey Eyeballs, Keith's boy, this weekend. Yep.
All right.
Or last weekend, I should say.
Ted, do you have no knowledge of
no,
this
no.
team?
No, I don't. How do we do the first 3 weeks?
Great, Bob.
Okay.
You're one in three?
You want this information now?
Sure,
Andrew?
Give us a quick update.
All right, so you guys are the Master Blasters, currently sitting at 1-3. So you do have a win, 3 losses.
You know, I went to the Super Bowl and won it starting this season 1-3. So we're going to be
I like
okay.
It. I like
Guess
it.
What? This ain't going to happen like that.
I like dumb odds.
The good thing is the Dale Arnold division, of which you are a part, is very competitive right now. Davey, Andy Hart, and Nick from the Midday Show are all 2-2. Terp, these guys, the Master Blasters, and Frizoco are all 1-3.
Oh,
Dale so here.
The division is up for grabs right now. The Glenn Ordway division is a war zone right now. Me, Scheim, and Jones are 3-1.
Oh.
Fitzy, Keefe, and Billy are 2-2.
So that's the stronger division.
The NFC North.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, okay.
So,
loaded with talent.
Still anybody's game for the Master Blasters. And this week, by the way, it is Team Ballbusters versus Andrew's amazing team because for some reason, Andy decided he was too good to name his team.
Wow. I love that listeners
Come
and Ted
on now.
Johnson
Holler back.
Find out at the same time about his team. That is tremendous. All right. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for the drive. Caught Stiz with his pants down back there.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
Well, the Red Sox have been eliminated, not only from the playoffs, but also from, I think, the debate that we had between the Patriots and Red Sox, who would win more games in October. The answer for the Red Sox is zero. And I think, maybe I'm giving the Patriots too much credit. I think they can find a way to win at least one of these games coming forward after the Bills. A lot of winnable football games on there. So, but the Red Sox fall 4-0. Their offense let them down. 13 strikeouts, a number we monitored all year long. And their record when they struck out double-digit times, not good. We looked at the guys batting 0-0-0 in the postseason, and that would include two key names that I feel like most people would say are some of the better hitters on the Red Sox. Sadon Rafaela.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went 0-4 last night with 3 strikeouts.
Oof.
He batted 0-0-0 for the postseason, including that infamous or famous bunt that got to the pitcher.
Yep.
Nice job there.
Yep.
Willier Abreu was 0-3 last night with 2 strikeouts. He finishes the postseason 0-0-0. The Red Sox score 0 runs. They do find a way to put a crooked number in the error column. A couple errors, thanks. Well, that's really what we needed. And more importantly, their defense just wasn't there. Even without the errors, they couldn't get to a ball in center field for Rafaela. They couldn't get to a ball at second base for Romy Gonzalez. They couldn't field a ball at first base for Nate Lowe. You can earn the Nathaniel back right now. You're Nate Lowe because you didn't get the job done. And they were eliminated. So what coulda, shoulda, woulda been merely a day earlier based on the fact that they had opportunities to win game two. They're out of the playoffs. The Yankees advance. Was it a successful season? I say 100% it was successful. Ted, you brought this up a little bit. Reflecting time, looking back on it, you'll feel a little bit. I get right now. You're disappointed because some idiot on the radio told you that because you won game one, you were going to win the series.
Yeah.
And that idiot was proven wrong. For the first time in the history of baseball, the team didn't win the series. But when you look back in a few weeks, they were eliminated from the playoffs. In the playoffs. That's better than being eliminated from the playoffs in August or September or long prior to the playoffs. So, Fitzy, did you feel success in the season that was 2025?
I felt success. I felt success in the gratification of many exciting games, thrilling finishes, winning streaks, walk-off home runs, bombastic calls from the booth with Fleming and Middlebrooks and Merlone and McDonough. I felt success in finally seeing the youth movement come to the fore with Marcelo Meyer flashing serious leather and pretty good at the plate. Obviously, we'll see about your guy, Christian Campbell. And, of course, the Roman Empire is upon us. And, unfortunately, that oblique injury took him out of, well, the pennant run at the end and then, obviously, the postseason. But not only is there a lot to look forward to with this team, but they gave us a great ride. It was our first postseason trip in 4 years. All right, it sucks that they lost to the Yankees. And now, unfortunately, they're that statistical footnote, first team to ever lose a three-game wild card series when winning the first game. But you know what? I'll forgive him. Time will heal all wounds. I had fun this year.
Ted, time will heal all wounds, but so would making some improvements to the roster as you get into free agency, maybe some trades. As Brad Foe said, they will revisit the Joe Ryan trade. But what is one area they absolutely have to improve this offseason, absolutely have to upgrade?
I think they got to get starting pitching, and I think they got to get a big bat.
I said one area.
Oh, you did. You did. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. If one or the other, I would probably say a big bat.
Me too.
I'd probably say, because I think, you know, Hunter Dobbins, I liked what I was seeing from him before he got hurt. Tanner Houck, you know, but I think he can pitch better than he pitched before he got hurt this year. Is Lucas Giolito still under contract? Right. He had a pretty good year. Mucked it up in September before he got hurt. So I'd probably say, okay, I'm feeling pretty confident about our pitching, but give me one more big bat. Now I could say, you know, well, that's Roman Anthony. He's your leadoff. Now we need someone in the middle of the order that's a big bat.
And let's take a little bit of the pressure off Roman Anthony. Let's just let him be a guy who will be playing his first full major league season. And it's funny, Fitzy, I didn't miss Roman Anthony as much as you'd think you would, because we had anointed him as the best hitter on this team, maybe the best player on this team. And then I was watching the Padres, and I watched Jackson Merrill, their left-handed 22-year-old, whatever he is, hit a home run. And he kind of has a similar look, and people compare Roman. And I was like, oh, we had one of those that could have done that, except he wasn't available. When I watched Jackson Merrill go deep, it made me realize how much I missed Roman Anthony.
Yeah, not only the danger of the bat, but also great fielding. Remember also a couple weeks back before he got hurt in Yankee Stadium, I think it was a seventh inning home run, absolutely murdered it to right field and then flipped the bat. And like the swagger, the fact that he had to be accounted for at all times, the energy that he gave the fan base, but most especially the team, like that oblique injury, like it almost basically diffused all optimism heading towards the postseason. I'd like to give a shout out that they made it, and also that these guys went to a game three with the Yankees, because Sogard and Romy and like that, they almost had no business being on. Yeah, Eaton, exactly. Why didn't you send them? Yeah, no, they didn't almost have any business being on that field, so good for them.
I don't know why you guys keep talking about Roman Anthony. It was really Roman Anthony's mom.
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
That's what I was most excited about this year.
Or his sister.
Sister.
Okay.
What? We're not allowed to just identify the fact that she's a very smart person?
Yes, she is. And the whole Anthony family, then everything that goes into it.
But there was a lot of things that this summer, let's face it, they gave us a summer.
Absolutely.
Summer baseball, which we haven't had here in a long time. Helping us get through the summer by being competitive was, to me, a huge success.
Not just competitive, fun, entertaining. The Friday night after Friday night after Friday night. Yep.
I was at one. You were at one.
We all Fitzy were, yes. Yeah. And we all cared into September, and we cared mightily. We had frickin' Stiz, who loves to tell you he's new to this whole sports and investment. Like, he was on the edge of his seat watching baseball the last three nights. Like, that is what they did. They're bringing in energy. I know my son was, like, getting codes to use whatever cable to get. They were all getting together in their dorm rooms to watch the Red Sox last night. They gave us an entertaining season. They gave us a playoff season. And they gave us reason for hope because of Marcelo Meyer, because of Roman Anthony, because of Peyton Tolley.
Even Christian Campbell to some degree.
You know what to some degree, lesser degree for me, I would trade him for Joe Ryan. But Peyton Tolley, think about Peyton Tolley. We are all going to be paying close attention next spring training, not even the season, because we're going to get reports. Hey, does Peyton Tolley throw anything but a fastball? Because if so, he seems like he could be a really good pitcher.
Nope. You're going to be hearing that he's worked to develop two other pitches.
Absolutely. In spring training. Yeah. We're not even going to wait till April or late March for that. We're going to be talking about that in February. Yeah. So you have begun the process of building a longer-term connection with the Boston Red Sox, right? There'll be some changes, but I agree with you, Ted. The big bat, because Roman Anthony is a great player. I don't know that he's the quote-unquote big bat. You want a bopper, right? Like, he's going to hit you 25 home runs is probably a nice number for him.
I mean, Roman had just a couple.
So, but
he just got on base all the time.
Can you bring in a guy that is supposed to kind of roll out of bed and hit 30, 35 home runs? I mean, we got guys hitting 50 home runs. The big dumpers hitting 60 home runs.
I feel like this season what it did was you got a lot of people that are going to be engaged from jump next year, as opposed to, it looks like a good team this year, but we're not sure. We're not fully bought in. I think people will be fully bought in from spring training to start the season.
Ted, as they say in zone coverage, something comes in, something goes out, right, of your zone. Well, if something comes in, if you're bringing in new talent, that means something's got to go. Bradfo, what could go?
Who would you say you'd buy into or believe is most likely not going to be on the team next year?
Ooh, not going to be on a team.
Could be part of the trade.
Duran. I mean, Duran, I think. And you know, I think that it's going to be really interesting. We said all along that, you know, at the time of the deadline, you weren't trading Duran because of what he meant to that team, both on the field and off the field. But, you know, his Q rating has gone down significantly. And
so is his average.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, and also, like, you know, his defense, his throwing, it's everything. He just was a shell of what he was, used to be. And so, you know, we all knew, guys, that you're going to have to deal one of these outfielders with Roman Anthony. And let's not forget the Roman Anthony dynamic. I don't know if anyone cares about that. And by the way, he wasn't coming back. He was like, he wasn't even doing baseball stuff. He was never coming back. Yeah. And so, but, you know, I think that they have to trade one of these guys. I think that what they saw from Duran wasn't necessarily exactly what they want from that position. They want better defense. They want more consistent offense. He wasn't able to hit lefties. He wasn't the version of Duran they had the year before that San Diego fell in love with. So I would think that that would be a very, very real thing, because it's going to be one of those guys. And my guess is that they like Rafaela and they like Willie Abreu. And obviously Yoshida sort of revitalized himself to show what he can do. So, you know, I think that that's probably the guy more than anything. And I know that you're going to bring up Bregman, but, you know, I'm sitting here, guys, and I'm like, wow, you know, you opt out of that deal with those numbers after that second half.
Nope, no way he is.
That's still hard for me to get my head around. It really is.
So there was a lot there from Bradfo. Before Fitzy led the witness down the trade Jaron Duran road, I missed it live. He said Lucas Giolito first was the first name he brought up, which is interesting. I'm not going to pretend I totally understand the whole innings thing and the mutual option year.
He has the
thing.
Opt out now. He reached his innings cap, so that he didn't get that $250,000 bonus, but he did pitch enough so that if he believes. Now, of course, it could all just be based around elbow health. If that thing is in tatters or he doesn't think that upon examination he's going to get that money, Andy, he could stay with the Sox. But If he's full healthy, gets a clean medical bill of goods, why wouldn't he want to go to market and be like, hey, until my elbow tweak happened, look how good I was. I want a 4 or 5 year deal at $30 million per. I mean, I wouldn't give him that money, but he may ask for it.
Yeah, I think you have three guys that we're talking about opting out in Trevor Story, St. Bregman, and Giolito, who, did they have good years? Sure. But are there easy arguments against them opting out? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Trevor Story became a defensive liability practically down the stretch here, even though he was one of your better hitters, the only guys that really showed up to hit at Yankee Stadium. But, I mean, is he going to hit the – how old is he? He's like 30, mid-30s almost.
47.
Yeah. So I think but all these opt-out guys, it's going to be interesting, and you could just have them all not – I don't know if maybe they do a weird...
No way Bregman's opting out. No way.
I just wonder if they do him a solid and there's like a 1 year tacked on something. So now instead of 2 and 80, it's 3 and 100. Yep. or just like a, I'll respect you. It'll look like you're getting more, but you and I both know you Good aged Lord. A little this season kind of thing.
Probably so.
I could see that happening, but...
That would turn his deal. If they gave him one extra year for $20 million, that would basically make it a 4 year, $140 million deal, which would be 35 per.
Yeah.
You can get a decent 3-bedroom in the Seaport for that.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, he's St. Bregman. He's the leader. Yep. He's the face. He's the guy who winked at Lou Maloney and told Lou they were going to win, and then they went out and fell on their faces.
Hey, by the way, I was looking at like young players that you may want to use for a comp or what you could hope or expect out of Roman Anthony. And I think if you just sort of like tweak or calibrate Pete Crow Armstrong's numbers. So this season for Chicago, huge year for him. Batted 250, 31 ding-dongs, 95 ribeyes, 150 hits, a couple stolen bags as well. So I'd say if you drop the power by 20%, but you raise the average, because I think we all believe that Roman Anthony's a better for average hitter, that's what you could look forward to.
He's now, better.
That's not
He'll be better.
Of the, yeah, but like Pete Crow Armstrong's a damn good ball player.
Well, I think struggled over the second half.
Yeah.
216 well, average, but yeah.
He's a kid.
Yeah, and they're all kids. I mean, I have higher aspirations for Roman Anthony. I think Roman Anthony should be, I mean, the names we've heard were Juan Soto, were mm-hmm. Barry Bond, like yep. these crazy highest
Jesus
of high
Christ
end.
Himself.
Ted Williams.
No. JC, you know. No, but people expect him to be
the man.
Yeah, the man.
Like, absolutely.
Like one of the major stars of this sport.
Speaking, Babe Gehrig.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Let me lay out a stat line, see if this seems about what we're looking for Roman Anthony next year. 145 games, 291 average, 820 OPS, 18 home runs, 77 runs batted in.
That's, love that.
That sound decent?
That sounds good.
It sounds decent to me.
I like wish I had a little bit more runs. A little bit more runs.
10% more across the board.
So,
is that from Chat MLB?
That is just baseball references, yes, to Mookie Betts' age 22 season in 2015 with the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Quick side note on Mookie Betts. It cut deep the other night when they were showing him on ESPN before
having
the
fun. Good time.
No, it said Mookie Betts, whose 3 World Series rings lead all active major league players. Ooh. I was like, you son of a gun. What coulda, shoulda, woulda been. Drake May and the Patriots head to Buffalo on Sunday night. It's a matchup of Drake May to Josh Allen, the MVP, who he is often compared to. But I feel like there's a weird surge of optimism in Patriot Nation. I feel like there's more people that either really want to pick the Patriots or flat out are picking the Patriots to win on Sunday night in Buffalo. And the flip side is apparently true in Buffalo. It sounds like there's a little bit of a trepidation heading into this matchup on the Buffalo side of things. Maybe the Buffalo radio hosts think that there's a chance that the Patriots could pull the upset this week. Is that true? And do you think there is a chance the Patriots pull the upset?
I think the Buffalo media contingent is a little bit disappointed with the level at which the Bills have played defensively. And I also think there's a little bit, and I've kind of brought this up this week, the last two games, Miami, where they get off this quick start, and you're like, they're going to run out of the building. And the next thing you know, you look up again, and it's like, hey, what? How's Miami get the ball down 7 and moving it? Like, what happened? Same thing with New Orleans last week. Yep. Jump out to a fast start. They're going to run them right out of that place. And then, again, third quarter, because we've got the Patriots game, I'm doing that, covering that. And I look down at the scoreboard, and I'm like, wait, they're losing? They're losing to the Saints? Mm-hmm. So I think they've been playing with their food a little bit, your advantage, if they continue to look at you like they've looked at some of these other teams. Or maybe Sean McDermott gets their attention this week and says, you know,
this is a pretty big game. These guys are coming in loaded for bear, feeling good about themselves. Like, show them who's boss.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard for Sean McDermott to do that.
Nope.
I think you can make a strong argument the Patriots are the second best team in the division. The quarterback across the ball is the second best quarterback.
They are definitely the second best
team, yep. Right? Like, he's selling that to his team. And
I'd sell him that this might be the best team you've played all year.
Well, I mean, I still think the Ravens
are 1-3, and got the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see how this maps out. But I, you know, and that's a game where they scored 41, I believe. That was their season
41-40, yep.
They clearly went into that thinking that was a big game against a big opponent, a Super Bowl caliber opponent. I don't know if they're going to talk themselves into the Patriots being contenders. But
what if I put it to you this way? The Buffalo Bills have played the easiest schedule of any team to start the season. The four teams they have played have the worst records and the worst defensive and out and
I would say
production.
I disagree because they had to play the Ravens, and the Ravens are a better team than their record would indicate, and certainly were better heading into that game. You're talking about a team many people were picking to win the Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I think numerically it plays out that way. But I think the best team they played was the Ravens. But you could argue the second best is going to be this Sunday night in Buffalo, and if they convince themselves that they're the best, then you could be in trouble.
Yeah,
because well,
it's a Sunday night game, so everyone's watching, and plus the Patriots had a 14-0 lead on you and only lost by 3 points in Buffalo last year.
Yeah, and as far as this Sunday night's game goes, we had Mr. Buffalo himself, Sal Capaccio from WGR 550 on the Six Rings pod this morning. Looks like Ed Oliver is going to play. He was questionable, was back at practice today. The ankle's been dinged up, but that's a big plus for them on their defensive line because he's a great run stopper. Secondary's a little dinged up as well. And as far as the way the Buffalo Bills and the fans are preparing up there, I know what Giardi was doing at the Giardi party on Buffalo Radio yesterday, but Sal said that there's a lot of respect for the Patriots and Drake May because they see basically who they see coming to town is the 2019 Buffalo Bills, a team that was getting it together but was still a year or two off from being dominant.
And also there's a report that Matt Milano, who got a serious injury last year, is back in practice. I don't know if he's going to play.
I think so.
Did they say in Buffalo?
I think he's going to play too. I think he's going to play
those
as well.
Those are two
Ted.
Big additions right there.
Yeah, but Milton Williams returned to practice today, Ted. So his bum wheel looks good enough to go as well. So that's a plus for the Patriots.
And Christian Gonzalez has a game under his belt, so we can do this all day long. The back and forth. I will say it's kind of fun, just like it was fun for the Red Sox to be in the playoffs and going to Yankee Stadium. We're talking about playoff baseball. It's kind of fun to be talking about a Patriots at Bills game and not be like, oh, blowout. This one's going to be over in the second. To actually
it's
kind
been
of
a
be
long
doing.
Time,
yeah.
Right? It's
We're
been
actually
a long time.
Considering aspects of the game, taking it serious.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's going to do it for the drive today. That's going to do it for the drive for the week. Up next, it's Friday. It's 5:30. It's time for us, well, I'll speak for myself. It's time for me to embarrass myself with my lack of knowledge picking NFL games. Pick 6 next here on WEEI Afternoons. But for the final time today and the final time this week, unless Christian Arcan makes him do it again like he did last night, here is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.